You're listening to IMO with Tom Jackson, part of the Wednesday afternoon show. It's the news, but not as you know it. Hello once again. It is IMO, my favourite segment, which is definitely not because I'm hosting it. It's where we talk about news and give our opinions on it. IMO, of course, standing for In My Opinion in Text Talk, because I'm down with the kids and that. Today's show, we're going to be talking about a variety of things, but the main thing that I want to spend too long talking about is some laws to do with the internet. In the US, they've recently repealed net neutrality. I will go into what that is later if it sounds like a foreign language. And there's also plans for an EU similar style kind of limitation internet law thing. So we'll be talking about that. We'll also be talking about Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un's historic summit this week, as well as the longest non-stop flight in the world. You can, of course, get in contact with us with any of your thoughts. You can contact us on Twitter via Vectors. You can contact us online via Twitter at Vectors Radio, as well as on Facebook, same handle. You can also send us a text using 60777 and start that message with BR6TT. We've got Elvis Presley now, and then we'll be back with our first story. Stay tuned. That was Elvis Presley, My Baby Left Me, after a brief pause. Before that song, of course, that was definitely not me making a mistake. Anyway, moving on to our first story. Of course, I may as well introduce the show again. This is IMO, my favourite segment, definitely not because I'm hosting it, where we talk about news and I ask for your opinion. IMO, of course, standing for In My Opinion. Now, we can move on to the first story that I have found, which is coming out of the Trump-Kim summit, which is, of course, the only thing the news will talk about for the next probably 5 years, because it was such an unprecedented event. Now, I wanted to focus on a specific detail that I thought was quite interesting. So they obviously, in the news coverage, had Kim Jong-un arriving, and as they had Donald Trump arriving in these large motorcades, these huge parades of cars. And something was very interesting about Kim Jong-un's motorcade. He had I can't remember how much it was. It was like at least like 15 to 20 men running alongside his car. And my research into that is that that wasn't like a special thing. That happens all the time, and it's to provide a kind of a human shield between the outside world and the leader of this most secretive nation.
That's nuts, right?
Which is just insane. Because these people are especially selected for their fitness and marksmanship. I'm wondering what the entrance exam is. Okay, you're going to be Kim Jong-un's car runner.
So just run, boys, run.
Run. Run, Forrest, run.
Keep on running. Did you see also that they the Sharpie he was going to sign the contract with, they
signing it with a Sharpie?
Yeah, and the Americans put that down. Their sister came along. She wiped it clean. Swapped it, but swapped it for their own pen.
Oh,
because he's very, very OCD suspicious about people swabbing it to get his health information from it.
Oh, that's very interesting.
He's very paranoid.
The levels they go to keep it under wraps is very
exactly.
It's very technical. I mean, they must be very clever people to keep it so tightly under control. Of course, something that is rubbish. Like, why would that anyway? So yeah, that was that, and I kind of wanted to bring that up because I thought it was an interesting kind of a fun fact, really, more than a news story. But if you have any reactions on the Trumpkin summit, please, of course, contact us via social media at Vectors Radio, or send us a text to 60777, starting the message with BR6TT. Now, I wanted to quickly throw in something about Singapore. Because, of course, the Trump-Kim summit was held in Singapore, but something else from Singapore was kind of interesting me. And it was Singapore Airlines are going to be operating the longest non-stop flight in the world. Now, this flight will be able to go from Singapore to Newark, New Jersey, which is in America, not the island of France. That's a little bit different. And it will be able to do that in 19 hours.
Which is amazing.
And so the first test flights of this took place this week, and the service is going to like begin properly with real people in October. And the accolade was previously held by the Doha-Auckland route, operated by I think it was Qatar, the Qatari Airlines, which would be a 17.5-hour flight. And again, wow, we've got to the stage where you can fly for 19 hours. You can basically skip a day.
And then you're somewhere else.
And then you're somewhere completely different. I mean, the jet lag off of that must be absolutely immense.
But more fun than a layover, because they're always boring, aren't they? You just want to get to your destination.
So, yeah, true, actually, that's better. But again, throwing that out to the listeners, if you have any thoughts on this longest flight, what's the longest flight you've ever been on? What's your most interesting experience you've had on a plane? Well, we have George Ezra and some ads, and we'll be back with more wacky news talking about internet laws. Promise it will be more interesting than it sounds. That's the Lightning Seeds and Life's Too Short on Vectis Radio. This is, of course, IMO, my favourite segment in the whole universe. And we have just been talking about the Trump-Kim summit and the longest flight in the world. Kelvin actually got in touch to tell us an interesting story about a toilet, a flight, a landing and a lock. Of course, I don't feel like he'd want me to share that on air, so I'll just keep that to myself. But it was quite amusing.
I'm intrigued,
but I'll tell you later. But what we were going to move on to is the internet law stuff that I've been kind of talking about and wanting to talk about, all the show. And so let's move on to the first thing that I wanted to cover quite quickly, which is an event that's happened in the US as a result of a vote that has happened kind of a few months ago. So this week, the US repealed net neutrality law. So the idea, I assume many of your first questions would be, what on earth is that? It sounds silly. Well, it's a law that made sure that internet providers didn't give preferential treatment to certain sites and services. So, for example, if an internet provider owned like a streaming service like Netflix and Spotify, they would prioritize their one over, say, actual Netflix and Spotify because they aren't owned by the internet provider.
Okay.
So these laws were in place since 2015, and they have been repealed after a recent vote by the Federal Communications Commission, aka the FCC. And critics of the move have said that they are worried that they are going to be charged for anything more than a basic service. And so in response to it, US states are going to be are trying to enforce like localized net neutrality standards laws to try and circumvent this. And it's quite an interesting situation because it's kind of placing a potential limiter on the internet, which has really been the Wild West of the world, really. Up until this point when everybody's trying to control it. And so I thought that was kind of interesting to bring up as more of an update than anything else. But the main thing I wanted to talk about was something that's a little bit more closer to home, and that is a law that is being drafted and will be voted on in the EU Parliament. Bear in mind, we haven't left yet, so this still would affect us. So it's called the EU Copyright Directive, and it's being pushed... it's been pushed for since 2016, and it's trying to update European copyright laws for the digital age. I will try and make this sound more interesting. I know it's sounding incredibly boring. But since 2016, it's been through a number of committees, and it's now the last one that has to see it before it goes to a vote, the Legal Affairs Committee. And they're going to vote on whether it will be passed on the 20th of June. And if it does pass, it'll be very difficult to make any changes to it. Now, why would we need to change this? There are three main things that are kind of worrying. And they are three different articles. Each of them have a different implication. So one of them, called Article 11, which is being dubbed the link tax, means that social media companies will have to pay a license fee to showcase snippets of their journalistic content. The idea is to drive people to the news websites instead of looking at summaries online and on social media. That's fine, but when you share a link on social media, there's obviously that little preview with a picture, the headline, and a little bit of content. That comes under this. So if someone didn't want to pay the license, they would only have this really long gobbledygook text and wouldn't have this little image which shows you what the story is. And so the problem with this is that that these links are going to I've lost where I was. It's very complicated, but The idea is that there studies have shown, studies have shown that with these previews, more people are likely to click and go and look at the website. So without these things, less people are going to actually look at the news.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? That's what the World Wide Web is for. It's sharing.
Yeah.
So regardless of copyright, it's, oh, that's an interesting link. I'm going to then click on to XYZ newspaper.
Which will take you to the site anyway.
So it can't be good for the distributors either.
Yeah. And weirdly enough, similar laws have actually been implemented in Germany and Spain, and both of them failed.
Ah.
And in Germany, they're saying it's going to die in court. And in Spain, I can't remember what it was, but there was something that had gone wrong there. And the EU Research Service says that the law in Spain has negatively impact the visibility of and impact of information.
Yes, because then, you're restricting info.
The other thing is that it could also aid fake news, because fake news aren't going to care if you pay a copyright license. They'll just want to get to as many people as possible.
Exactly.
And so that's the first article to breathe in. I'm sorry, this is very heavy, but I want to try and get through it because I feel like it's important and nobody's really talking about it. Article 13, which is the second one, is called the upload filter. And the aim here is to protect the music industry, and they believe that money, kind of like a little segment of money, like a tip, which is shared with artists by people like Google when their music is shared and used on their website, is not fair in comparison with places like Spotify. And so the idea is that the law is going to enforce social media companies to have like a really, really extensive filter that will take down instantly any kind of copyrighted content. However, there is two major problems with this. One, the cost of running such a filter would stifle any kind of new startup internet social media company.
True.
And two, because the wording is so vague, things like remixes, commentaries, parodies, and other type of kind of fair use type content will be hit and will be taken down, which kind of can also be linked to kind of limiting kind of freedom of speech, if I dare say that very, very hot phrase.
Also, policing it, you know, lawyers. I've worked a lot in copyright, and you know, we've had instances once or twice when we've shot something in France. France is very, very strict on copyright.
Yeah.
So if you film a statue, you have to get permission. If you do not,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you could get a 10,000 euro fine. But this is the thing: it's policing it. It's number one. That's a lot of resources and money and energy.
Mm.
And number two, the internet thrives off peer-to-peer and social media content being shared.
Yeah.
It's very sketchy, isn't it, Tom?
It is. Because the point I was making with the unintended side effects is that things like reaction GIFs, which are kind of like little animated kind of images that people kind of attach to images, like posts and reactions and stuff. So these reaction GIFs, online images, and memes of popular songs, so remixes, all sorts of stuff like that, would be taken down by law, which is kind of a bit ridiculous. And the icing on this particular cake, which kind of makes me a little bit annoyed, is the fact that it goes against current EU law, which says that which forbids general monitoring obligations. So it's just looking incredibly hypocritical of the group to say, we want you to monitor everything, but don't monitor everything. And it seems like it hasn't been thought through. I mean, I understand the motives and I understand why they're trying to do it, but they clearly haven't put enough thought in for it to actually work in the real world. Because the other thing about the internet is that because it's so expansive, it's global, you can't really control it. You can't put it in a box.
Yeah.
The only way to police the internet is if you don't have it at all. And we've become so kind of dependent and reliant on it that we kind of can't really do without it. So we need to kind of deal with it.
Sounds like a China or a North Korea. It sounds a little bit too dictatorship-y.
It sounds a lee bit dodgy.
Yes.
And so that's kind of all the information there. And so really, I know that was a lot to digest, and I know that was quite difficult for me to go through and read, and probably painful to listen, frankly. I'm surprised you're still here if you are. But I would like to know what people think of this, because it does feel like we're trying to kill the internet, because the internet is based off sharing, and we're slowly trying to limit and control that.
Via making money, you know, copyrights is an excuse to make more money.
Yeah, But that, of course, is only our opinions. We would like to hear what you think of all that stodgy information. You can tweet us at Vectis Radio and find us on Facebook, also at Vectis Radio. You can also send us a text to 60777 and start that message with BR6TT. Now we have some Imelda May, and then we'll be back for the end of the show. This meant to be. BB Rexha with Meant to Be on Vectis Radio. This is, of course, IMO, my favourite segment, which is definitely not because I'm hosting it. And we have been talking about all sorts of news. We spent too long, frankly, talking about internet laws, which I thought was an interesting thing we needed to get out. But really, in hindsight, that was just really boring, wasn't it? But we can move on to a little more local story, something that I feel that is another hot topic, another really important issue that we should talk about on the show, which is the proposed changes to the hospital service on the island. So up until the announcement of these plans, St Mary's has really been kind of a one-stop shop, really, for health. It's kind of covered a many number of things. And, of course, I don't obviously know all of the details. I don't have them in front of me, so I wouldn't want to misquote what they do. But they do an incredibly vast array of procedures and operations, and they do an amazing job. But the plans are to move some of these, what they're calling more specialist operations, off the island and have people be shipped off the island to receive that kind of treatment. However, doesn't that pose quite a big problem known as the Solent?
Weather, the Solent.
The weather, the Solent.
Family costs. If you are accompanying a patient, does that mean you have to pay?
There are all sorts of these questions, and
they're not really able to answer them yet, are
they?
No. So it's been a Q&A so far, but what they're proposing isn't acceptable for the population that we have on the island.
Yeah, and that's the thing, because I saw an article in the county press that said, I can't remember by what year, but by kind of a year in the future, not in the distant future, but in the near future, a third of the island will be pensioners.
Yes, we are an ageing island.
We are an ageing island, and we need to bear that in mind when planning these important services. Yeah. Now, I know that young people like myself aren't known for sticking up for older people, but this is ridiculous, frankly, in my opinion. I mean, bear in mind the island, bear in mind its population, bear in mind the fact that we are an island and it will be very difficult to, in emergency situations, fly people off the island.
And expensive.
In an ambulance, and expensive. This seems potty.
Also, it's the travel time. If you're really poorly, that's going to really affect your health detrimentally.
If you're critically ill and you're having to be transported off the island, you could feasibly get worse on that journey. Whereas if you were treated on the island, that wouldn't be a problem. Because, and something that somebody else mentioned, I think this was something to do with the Q&A, they mentioned that if you're not in kind of like a central area near St Mary's where the helipad is, you'll have to get taxis and things to and from there.
And who can afford that? You know, if you're ill already, or, you know, family members having to fork out all that cash, that's not fair. And why do we get that? You know, why are we dealt that?
Why are we dealt such a rough hand in terms of that?
And in fact, in the next couple of months, we are looking on the show to get the Save the Isle of Wight NHS organisers on to discuss this, because it's a very important topic, and it's one that needs to be completely cracked open, and every aspect of it needs to be completely discussed.
Yeah, so really I wanted to bring it up as more of a flyby mention in today's show, but we are going to have a more in-depth conversation with the organisers of Save Our NHS, and that will be very interesting, something I'm looking forward to. And so, really, again, as this is a very important issue for the island especially, we would love to hear what you're thinking. So, of course, as always, you can contact us via social media on Twitter at Vectis Radio, also on Facebook, also at Vectis Radio. You can also send us a text message you can send us a text message using the number 60777 and start that message with BR6TT. Now, it's 7 minutes to four. It's pretty much, it's our show ends at four. We've got 7 minutes, and it's a bit sad, isn't it?
It's very sad.
But we should look forward to
what's happening next week, Tom.
What is going on next week? So we have Older and Wiser next week. We've got an Older and Wiser next week in which we will be talking to the Isle of Wight Carers Association.
Yeah, they do an invaluable job supporting carers.
They do. They do a very valuable job supporting carers, as you said. I'll also be here with my IMO segment talking about wacky news. I'll make sure that the story isn't as long as today's one on internet laws. I am sorry about that for anyone who kind of fell asleep during that. But I promise normal service will be resumed next week in terms of that.
And don't forget, this is your community show. So if you've got anything you'd like to write in and talk about, please do.
Very much. Yes, you can potentially you can send an email to I'm looking for the email on the wall. It's studio@vectusradio.fm if you want to send an email if you wish.
Yeah, or message us on Facebook, Vectus Radio, or tweet us at Vectus Radio.
Indeed, we will be looking out for your messages. Now, Chris Sullivan is in the wings waiting to take the reins for the Tea Time show today. And to take us there, we have some disciples and maybe after that a little bit of the Police. Thanks so much for listening. If you're liking what you're hearing, tune in live to the Wednesday afternoon show on Vectus Radio from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. We hope to see you there.